out of here. We are your host, an MVP, a Cy Young, and a blind guy, Chris, Rupert, and Ethan.
Hold on. Hold on. Which one of y'all want a Cy Young? Because I've seen one of you pitch, and it's not very pretty.
That's good enough to strike you out. I heard you missed me, so I get to be the MVP.
Yeah, we do not like doing the intros, do we, Rupert?
So, yeah, no, you get to be the blind guy. Rupert can be the Cy Young, and I get to be the MVP. So,
oh, yeah. Okay, sure. I mean, as long as you do the intro and you keep us on track, because we realize me doing the intro sucks, and we get off track a lot without you.
Well, that's because you guys like to ramble. We've learned
this. No, mostly me like to ramble. Let's be real. All right.
So, anyhow.
How's it feel to be in third place before we start? I have been so excited for this.
I want to know why we sent down a guy we traded for to AAA, i.e. Jake Bird. Because if you were going to send him...
Shucks.
Well, so did Bednar. So did...
Your whole team sucks, let's be real.
Listen, defense is lacking.
Well, I told y'all those trades, they sucked. They were not what they used to be.
Mm. Oh, no. I mean, Ryan McMahon isn't bad defensively. Much better than what we had there defensively.
Too bad he can't play the outfield.
This is true.
No, but could have traded for a third baseman, moved him over to second, put Jazz back in the outfield.
Mm. Very well could have been. They made a move for...
They did make another move for an infielder.
Kenta Maeda.
That's a pitcher.
I thought he was a...
Maeda.
I'm confused then on who Maeda is. But anyway, I know we have a second baseman that they picked up, but he's on a minor league deal.
Didn't they get an infielder from the Nationals at the end?
I think so.
I think that's who the infielder is.
Mm. Oh, Rosario.
Yeah,
Rosario. He hasn't even played yet on the team.
No. Mike Scherzer on the IL.
And you guys didn't sell a whole bunch either. I'm surprised that the Braves didn't get rid of more or make any moves.
We tried to get Buxton. Don't ask me why. Apparently, we tried extremely hard to get Byron Buxton. For what? Have no idea.
I mean, the Twins were on a fire sale.
Actually, Buxton turned down the trade deal. He has a no-trade clause.
Ah, that makes it fun.
Yeah. And to be honest, I would just rest everyone and try to get the first overall pick, because we only have to have a worse record than the Pirates, and we can get the first overall pick. Because there's like six teams in front of us that can't get in the top five. So,
isn't that most of the league?
No. Like, the Colorado Rockies can't pick in the top 10. St. Louis. Fair. The Nationals and, like, four other teams. So, what are we going to start with this week, boys?
So, I wanted to, because this will take a decent portion of our conversation here, was a question that was presented to us on Instagram. Not really a question, more of a statement, as in regards to from our Tommy John episode. Tommy John episode, I had made a comment about how why the MLB, with as much as it has in analytics, doesn't realize what the problem is. And they brought up a decent thought process, was more so that they know what's causing Tommy John's, but like the NFL, if they pretend that it doesn't exist, it's better for them, because if they actually acknowledge it and realize that the sport is hurting the players, it's financially irresponsible for them with the current rise in viewership.
Well, first of all, they can announce it, but it ain't gonna stop it. I mean, even there's pitchers that go their whole career without Tommy John surgery.
And I think the biggest part of it, and it's part of what he and I spoke about, was it's like forcing a toddler not to scream. These pitchers want to go up and give their all-out best on one pitch, because even the Major League Baseball has proven that since 2008, the average velocity for pitchers was 91.4. The average now is like 94.6. So you're seeing a larger jump in the average speed from pitchers. And it's all because these pitchers just want to throw all out every pitch.
Yeah, I don't understand why people want to throw fast. I mean, I'm just going to use Rubert's motto against myself. Throw a circle change. If they can't hit something that curves, just keep throwing it. Because I can't touch a circle change, so why throw fast when I can't hit little curvy little thingy-majiggers?
Well, so they throw fast because growing up, that's all they're taught. Throw fast and hard. That's it.
I prefer you just get it over the plate.
Well, so do I, but as they grow up and they start throwing faster, and then everyone recognizes that's the pitch to sit on, that's when they start working in the breaking balls where they overthrow that too much.
Yeah.
So my thing is how much of it's the pressure from the teams? Because if a pitcher can throw 101 with a high K rate, they'll ride that arm and risk the injury until it breaks.
But look at Chapman, though.
And he's a reliever who only throws, what, 15 pitches, maybe?
Yeah, yeah. But he's never had Tommy John. And no. The Cubs rode that. You rode that.
But have you also noticed his mechanics are much different than most of the pitchers? Like the amount that he loads into that back leg?
Yeah. Oh. Trying to think who else throws fast that's never had Tommy John. Yeah, he's the one I can really think of.
Well, I mean, Mason Miller right now.
Yeah, but he's...
As of right now. Yeah. Suarez, I don't think, since he's been in the majors, has had Tommy John surgery.
My thing is do we institute a pitch limit in the major leagues? We have it in, you know, younger leagues for kids, you know, we don't allow them over a certain point. But do we institute a pitch limit for pitchers?
No.
I mean, I think it'd be entertaining for strategy-wise, you know?
Well, because, I mean, my thing is we've seen pitchers in three innings get up to 90 pitches.
Yeah.
Well, if you're in the majors throwing 90 pitches in three innings, you should have been out two innings ago.
You would hope, but that doesn't happen.
Oh, wait, unless you're a Yankees pitcher, then your manager don't know when to pull you.
Aaron Boone doesn't know how to pull anybody.
I was going
to
say, listen, it's not just the Yankees. I've seen the Braves do it.
Well, the Braves don't have enough pitching to make it through a game half the time.
That is true.
But my thing is, do you think that Tommy John's is seen more as like a norm now? Like,
yeah.
They just don't care because it's like, oh, you've caught the bug.
Yeah, because, I mean, you're having high schoolers having Tommy John surgery before they're 18 years old.
I mean, the league as a whole has seen over 30 Tommy John surgeries just this season alone. That's one per team, practically. I mean, other teams have seen more, but still.
I was going to say, we have one, maybe three this year that'll end up having Tommy John.
One opted out of Tommy John.
Yeah, but how well did that work for Garrett Cole?
I don't know. We'll find out after this season.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I kind of like the pitch limit idea because it'll add more strategy to baseball.
The only other thing I would think of would be to add an additional pitcher to a rotation or an additional two pitchers.
See, I would love a six-man rotation.
There's no saying you can't do a six-man rotation. As long as you have 13 pitchers on your roster, it doesn't matter if you do five, six, or six in an opener. The only limit is 13 pitchers.
Well, because... So, we have a typical rotation, right? So, a five-man rotation pitches every fifth day, right? So, what if the league mandated additional rest days based on pitch count? We don't have to have a pitch count limit, but if you throw 90 pitches, rather than getting a five-day rest, you get a seven-day rest, and then it's on your coach to strategize from there.
Then you have to up the roster limit.
I would kind of like to see the roster limit go up by at least two.
I mean, rather, what do they carry, a 40-man roster?
40-man roster and what, 26 active?
26 on the major league roster, and then you have a 40-man active roster that can be called up and down as needed.
So we up that to 28?
Well, when they get to September,
yeah, it but just already make it,
goes up.
Yeah, just make it 28 all season.
Well, then you're probably going to need to update the playoff roster also.
I'm good with that.
I mean, listen, these changes are not like I'm adding a ghost runner to second base.
Yeah. Okay?
These changes are more for the benefit of the game and to see longevity with the players because, you know, we may get four seasons out of a fast-throwing pitcher and then we never see him again.
I mean, you can get 4 years out of any pitcher and never see him again, injury or non.
That's rare because I don't see a lot of like pitchers. I mean, a lot of them try to push it a lot longer. I mean, Verlander and, you know, Scherzer and all these others that have been there in their mid to late 30s, Charlie Morton.
Oh, yeah, but I'm just saying there could be a bunch of people that disappear after one contract.
Because, I mean, a lot of it is that they're throwing at this velocity with poor mechanics. So my thing is, you've made it to the major league level on poor mechanics. Are you going to be able to fix those poor mechanics to be able to throw long term?
Yeah, but you also got also kind of got to look at it now. Even fielders are having Tommy John surgery.
Yeah, you're not wrong. We did have the Judge scare a few weeks ago.
Well, then you had Bryce Harper a few years ago.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it doesn't matter pitching or not at this point now.
But that's another thing. So with the position players getting Tommy Johns, they're not consistently throwing like a pitcher. But when they do throw, I understand that they're going to probably throw all out because they're trying to make the out.
Not, I mean, they throw, but a lot of those, unless it's going to be a close play, they're just tossing it in. I mean, look at Ronald. He's got one of the better arms in the outfield. He hasn't had any arm problems.
No, he just, his lower body, below the waist, he's struggling. Poor guy.
Well, what if we took the season down by 10
no.
games?
No.
Why?
I like my 162-game season. If you take it down 10 games, you're ending it sooner, but, I mean, we haven't had a game count change since, like, the 50s.
Listen, I'm good with 160-something games. I was just trying to figure out, like, how to make it, because eventually some of these, or do we change, I don't know, maybe a longer All-Star break?
Well, I mean, really, if you look at it, NBA is only a week. I think NHL is only a week. Same with MLB. But I think what really needs to happen, this goes back to the teams, rest your players a little bit more. How many times have you really seen, like, Matt Olson play 162 games? Freddie Freeman, how many times has he basically played a whole season?
So, I was going to say,
most players play between, if they're an everyday starter and they're aiming to try to play 162 games, they're normally 20 to 30 games off of 162.
So, I know Olson hasn't missed a game in like 6 seasons.
Yeah, and Freddie went a while playing just about every game as well. But it's funny, people complain about like NBA players wanting to sit out games to rest. Baseball plays the most games. Why not let your starters rest? You have 26 men on a roster for a reason.
I mean, unless you really don't trust the depth of your squad.
Then why do you have them on the team?
I hate to say it. That is a very good point.
But that's the question I ask mainly as a Yankee fan, because I don't trust the depth of the backups for the Yankees. Why they're on the team, I couldn't tell you. Why Volpe's on the squad in the first place, couldn't tell you.
I mean, look at what happened with the Braves at the Bristol game. Who expected Eli White to hit 2 home runs in that game?
Yeah, I mean, especially as a rookie, like, he hasn't done anything flashy all season, but for him to perform the way he did at Bristol was a big surprise for a lot of people.
That's because he doesn't play very often.
I meant, it kind of surprises me not, because the way Eli White can hit the ball, and that field was very odd dimension.
Was it? I didn't get to watch the game. I tried to watch it the night that it got rained out, and it got rained out.
Yeah, listen, that game chalked both of our bullpens, let's be real.
Did y'all use more of your bullpen for that game?
We drove a guy in 5.5 hours straight to pitch him.
And he went 5 2/3.
Yep.
What?
So funny story on that game. So the commissioner's plane was there. The Reds got to use the commissioner's plane. They flew in a person from AAA. We drove ours because there was only one plane.
Atlanta to Tennessee is not a bad drive either.
Yeah. So, and it was first come, first serve with the plane, they said. So, apparently that's not an option every game. They just did it this one game. But I think that game should have never been played because I think they should have just chalked it up. But it was money. And, you know, you had 100,000 people there to watch said game. Even though some of the seats were horrible from what I've seen.
What really makes it funny is that pitcher that the Reds had fly in had got sent down the day before that the game got rained out.
Yeah.
So he was on his way back to Louisville and got about halfway, according to the report, and they called him back up just for the game.
I wonder if they sent him back down the next day.
Yeah, because they sent the Braves pitcher back down. The only reason he got called up was because he was going to start for Gwinnett that night. So he was going to pitch no matter what team he was with.
Right. Listen, that game was a catastrophe from the beginning. Apparently, by the third inning, they were running out of hot dog buns and running out of nacho cheese for nachos and still charging full price for this stuff.
Hey, listen. Bristol is not meant to host a baseball game. This is why they raced early in the season in NASCAR, because it is a rain fest up there.
Well, even going into the day it got rained out, when they were doing the ESPN show at Bristol, just the interview seemed off. Like, you knew that was not going to be a good experience.
Yeah, and I mean, even the commentators, while the rain delay was going on, were like trying to find something to talk about and couldn't find much. They ran out halfway through. They were just repetitive.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know if y'all saw it, but Austin Riley was part of the pregame interview, and they started talking to him about driving in down the embankment. And Riley's like, I thought we weren't going to be able to play the game because we were going to have the bus turn over. I'm like, really? Why would you bring that up or ask that type of question?
Yeah, that's interesting.
They should have just got one of those NASCAR hauler drivers to pull the bus in. You can pull in a tractor trailer. You can pull in a bus.
Listen, I don't think it was very well thought out from the beginning.
No, but it was a cool concept. I will say that. And I think the only reason they came up with this idea is you got to do something to compete with Banana Ball.
Banana Ball's outselling you, outperforming you. It's more fun. Yeah, the rules are not baseball, but that's the appeal to it. People that don't know baseball can follow along with a bananas game.
Yeah?
Yeah, but unfortunately, the bananas are going to die at some point just because their prices have gone up. And right now, they're the new thing. Yeah, and everyone's like, oh, it's only a two-hour game. Yeah, but it's more of a show. Yeah. So anybody that wants to really watch baseball is not going to go to a banana game.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've never been to a game. Not when I saw the prices for one ticket were like $350.
That's people reselling them.
Yeah, you have to be part of their banana club. I don't know what
that is. Nope, they don't do that anymore.
They don't?
Nope. The way it works, and I only know this because I tried to go to the one in Atlanta this year, it's basically a lottery system. You pick what game you want to try to buy tickets for, and if you randomly get selected, your email randomly gets selected, you get to buy tickets. You can buy up to 6 for $25 each.
Interesting.
But because there's diehard people that are going to pay that $300. People sell them for that price. Because if you can't win the lottery to get it in the thing, you're, you know.
Yeah, because, I mean, they consistently sold out Camden Yards for 2 days. Yeah. Camden Yards, the Orioles can't even do that.
I mean, if they were competitive, I could see it.
They can be competitive. They haven't been this season. The young squad doesn't have a leader.
No pitching.
Well, yeah. When you got Charlie Morton in your lineup, you know you're...
Hey. Sorry, I want to stop. Charlie Morton is no longer in their lineup. He's a Tiger.
Yeah, he's a Tiger. Oh,
that's right.
Yeah.
That's right. I forgot. Listen, I didn't get to watch much of the trade deadline. There's a lot of trades I missed.
Actually, they didn't bring it up on the trade deadline.
Yeah, we didn't hear about it till like, I randomly saw going, oh, Charlie Morton's starting. I'm like, he got traded? Yeah. No, that one was not very...
Did you see that dumb mess with Spencer Jones and the Yankees? How they're like, we're not trading Spencer Jones unless it's in a package for Skeens?
No, I never saw anything about that.
I did, but I don't think the Pirates are going to trade Skeens till it's that last year of the deal. They're going to run that arm out till unfortunately you can't.
You think so?
Yes. I hate to say it.
Is he the only thing keeping the Pirates relevant?
I mean, it sells tickets. I mean, if you had to choose, okay, to go to a Pirates game to watch Skeens or watch the Pirates without Skeens, which one are you picking?
Pirates without Skeens.
Personally, I'd like to see Skeens pitch at least once.
See, there you go. Sold a ticket, didn't sell a ticket.
You're not wrong. I just like it because Skeens is not going to be a pitcher 15 years from now.
You want me to tell you what I'm going to do? I'm not going to watch the Pirates. I've already seen them one time in my life. In person, so I can check that off the bucket list.
Yeah, so have I when they played in Atlanta.
See, there we go. See, don't need to sell that ticket either.
I'll still go.
Yeah. I got a bucket list. I got to see all the teams first, then I can go do repeats.
Yeah, apparently I got to call Chris from Camden Yards when I see the Orioles play.
I just want to see the stadium like I did Wrigley Field so I can say I've been there.
Just do what I did. Take some pictures, send videos, and you're good.
It was raining. He didn't want to hold the phone the whole time.
I was also a little annoyed.
Yeah. So let's talk about your Yankees for a minute.
Wow, lovely.
How hot is that seat for Boone right now?
It better be hot as crap. It better be on fire.
But who do you hire then?
I don't know. Anybody but him. Honestly, personally, bring back Joe Torre. I know he ain't got too many years left, but Joe Torre wasn't a bad manager, okay?
Were you trying to bring back a Billy Martin situation?
Why not? Sounds like fun.
You want me to tell you who you should get?
I don't know if there's any managers out there I want.
You should get the Marlins' old manager. He took them to the postseason.
Schumacher.
I mean.
I mean, it's not a opposition. My thing is like Boone doesn't have a feel for the game, and it was obvious during the All-Star game that everyone could see it.
What do you mean?
His managerial style and the way he puts in pitchers in certain situations when you know that, you know, they're not best for this matchup. Especially in an All-Star game where you have a choice of many players.
I mean, I agree with that, but the problem is, how many people in the All-Star game really take that game serious?
None. Unless they have an incentive to win, like, All-Star MVP or something.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, yes, you could have done different matchups, but my thing is, I've seen reports of why Ohtani and Judge and them didn't get picked.
Yeah, they were out of the stadium.
They were already gone. So, like, yeah. I hate to say it, if I know that the game is competitive and it could go to a home run hit off, I'm staying if I'm a player. You never know if you're the game winning shot. Because here's the thing, does Judge perform better than some of those people? Ohtani?
I mean, Schwarber got the MVP for going 3-for-3 in swing offs.
Yeah. So
my question now is, with that being the tiebreaker, are you going to see some of these players that really shouldn't have been on the All-Star team go in the game sooner, and you keep some of your better reserves to go in last?
As a coach, yes.
I mean, yeah, from a coach's perspective, that makes more sense.
It does, but what really screws it up being fan-voted starters. Now, yeah. Are diehard baseball fans going to vote differently as well?
I mean, you could. I mean, to be honest, some of the people that got selected this year, I was kind of like, I don't see it. But hopefully, I mean, adds a little more strategy to the game. I'm not going to lie.
It does, and it makes it a little bit more entertaining.
I'm all about strategy. Like, you know.
My thing is, though, and this is because I know how freaking Manfred thinks, he's going to want to bring something like that to regular season.
I prefer that than the stupid Ghost Runner.
What do you say to that, Rupert? Because I could see it.
Every time I hear Ghost Runner, I'm like, that's so stupid. I'm sorry, it is.
Like,
I mean, it is, but hold on. Let's say this, okay? You finish the ninth inning and you're tied, okay? Would you rather have a Ghost Runner on second and let your team play the game like traditional without just, you know, you have the fucking stupid Ghost Runner? Or do you go and say, okay, here's my best three from my team, here's the best three from your team, they get three pitches, and it's a swing-off?
I think you give them, you take away the Ghost Runner and let them play normal for two or three innings. Then you go to a home run derby swing-off.
Hold on. I have a question first. Hold on. My brain just came up with it. Am I using a pitcher or is a coach throwing?
I think it should be a pitcher throwing.
Pitcher, well, but everything has to be in the zone.
No. So my thing is my pitcher throwing to their team and their pitcher throwing to my team?
No.
Yeah, that would be more entertaining that
way. That's what I was going to say. Because if it's my coach, just do Rupert's idea, play it normal, take the runner off. Now, if it's my pitcher against your team, swing off.
I feel like my pitcher against your team in a swing off, but you now make it to where every pitch has to be in the zone. That's how you combat that.
The full problem is, and y'all know this as well as anybody else that watches baseball, the zones are so inconsistent. What's going to be in a zone and what's not? Because you still have to have somebody call it.
Yes. Well, here's my thing. Limited the pitches, number of pitches you can take then. Because here's the thing. If I know, say, Rupert's on the other team pitching to me, I know he's already thrown an inning. If I can make him go up more, he's just going to start taking gas off to make his arm last, and then boom, a couple home runs. Or, you know what? Even better idea. Let's just turn it into a bunt contest. Okay?
No.
Small ball. Home runs are why we got little taters out there in the world just want to hit dingers and not want to bunt the ball. Okay? Bunting the ball wins ball games. Just saying.
Or what you could do, if you want to take away the extra innings, still have a pitcher pitch from the opposing team, and it's 10 pitches.
Yeah.
If the pitcher throws more than two consecutive balls, you give a point to the opposing team. That way, now you're trying to make sure it goes into the zone.
I mean, that's fair, yeah. Or at least reward them with a base or something.
Or, yeah, give them the opposing team an award. But if you do a home run derby, that's why I'm saying give them a point.
Yeah, I like that idea.
Because I feel like that could be. Like, the thing is, and a lot of the people that don't enjoy baseball at its purest form are going to look at the major leagues and be like, it's boring. It's no fun. You know, why would I want to watch this? That's the one thing I hear every time I put on a baseball game on my phone when I'm around other people is, how do you watch that? It's so boring. Like, it's fun to me, but like, well, how do we make it fun for those people that say it's boring?
Well, going back to the bananas, like, their biggest thing is they're all over social media. so they're known for just the entertainment, where the baseball players are more focused on more than what they have to do, what type of pitches they're going to be thrown at them by each pitcher. They got to try to remember as much as possible.
Yeah.
Well, here's the way I look at it. Before Ohtani, we didn't really have a player that everyone knew. I mean, you can say Judge, but here's the thing. If you don't like the Yankees, or in an area where the Yankees are televised, you're not going to know who Judge is. Let's be real. Where, unlike the MLB, I would say the NBA does it better. The NBA broadcasts everywhere. Where the MLB, honestly, it's kind of expensive to watch MLB games, because you got to think, the Braves, if they're playing the Marlins or Tampa in Florida, they're blacked out. And if you don't have cable, you're not watching those games.
Yeah, I definitely say blackouts don't help.
Yeah. Where NBA, you know, you can watch those games even on the NBA Game Pass. You know, so I feel like the MLB needs to change some things to where it's more fan accessible, because there's certain ways they only promote Ohtani and Judge, but if you promote the small markets, it kind of helps. Because here's the thing, how many times do you hear anything about the Marlins, Tampa? If it wasn't for Skeens, you wouldn't really hear anything about Pittsburgh. Who else would be considered?
Well, I know with the last CBA, the players were trying to get more of the small market team's money.
Yeah.
So I think when next CBA comes up, they're going to try to push it a little bit more.
Yeah, and that's the thing. After, what is it, after 2026, the CBA's expired?
I believe so.
Yeah, so that's going to be the concern there, because I don't see us having baseball in 2027. The way these deals...
The deals, with as much as they want to add to the game with the automated ball strike.
Well, then you also have to look at it compared to NBA teams. How many are there?
I believe.
I'm including the G League or whatever it's called now. Because that's kind of like minor league basketball.
Yeah, hold on. I believe.
MLB has a, or MLB, NBA has a minor league?
Basically, yes. They kind of made it their own thing, but they'll sign two-way contracts.
That's interesting. I don't follow NBA, so I don't know much to anything about
it. So there's 30 teams, counting G League, I'd say about 42, 45.
Okay, so say we'll take 45. How many baseball teams are there?
30. Major League.
30 Major League. Okay, so we're almost to 45. How many in a farm system?
Well, okay, if you only count single A and double A, that's another 60 teams. Not to mention what you have in low A, high A, and the development league. If you say that each team has one of those apiece, you're looking at another 90 teams right there.
Exactly. So it's always going to be easier for basketball to be shown on TV. One, they don't have to sell as many tickets to be broadcast on TV.
So there's 120 minor league teams.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's insane.
Yeah.
And then their games are more spread out time-wise. Because now you're doing 15 games, but they also don't show G League on TV.
They do.
I see more minor league baseball than...
Well, it's only on NBA TV, where... Yeah.
Yeah, their special network.
Yeah, you have networks that just show minor league baseball.
Yeah.
But people don't want to watch it.
Oh, I love watching the minor league games.
I would watch it if I knew, like, but you got to have that channel.
Well, yeah, that's fair.
Where I feel like, you know, I do pay for the MLB.TV thing, but it's random when they show the triple games. Like, I could have watched Charlotte like two nights ago, but they don't really promote that.
It's weird. What I use to watch TV, I get the Cubs minor league system.
That's odd.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not, I mean, not a bad thing because they have a great farm, you know, system, but that's really odd that, you know, we're in Florida.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
for the longest time, other than being the Iowa Cubs, that I didn't realize I was watching like single A Cubs baseball.
Yeah. My thing is, so now that we bring up the CBA thing, what do we think about the Harper Manfred incident in the clubhouse? Because I've had someone ask me about that.
I say bravo to Harper.
Yeah, I mean, I don't feel like one that Harper can be punished by saying, "Get out of my clubhouse." I mean, it is the commissioner, but the commissioner makes some dumb decisions, and most of the league doesn't like Rob Manfred.
Here's the thing that people got to remember with these commissioners: they work for one group of people,
the owners.
So they're not making the rules. They're enforcing what the owners approve. So, if anybody needs to get mad at people, it needs to be the group of owners that approved it.
Wasn't that pertaining to the ABS system?
That and the CBA. Because Harper, so each team votes in a player to represent them for the Players Association.
Yeah.
But apparently he was trying to talk to Harper about some stuff about the CPA, and apparently he told Manfred to go fuck off and get out of his...
I mean, I don't blame him.
Well, I mean, Manfred also did it right after a game.
Yeah, yeah.
Instead of calling Harper...
And scheduling a meeting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, Manfred would raise unholy hell if somebody tried to interrupt him after... You know, doing a draft announcement. Now they want to talk about the CBA.
Yeah. So apparently he was trying to talk about where to take the CBA, and Harper didn't want to hear about it right then. I get it. You know, you just played a game. But my thing is, he wanted to change and add a salary cap. Well, here's the problem. You have to basically wait till these contracts over because... Okay, if the salary cap is something, well, Ohtani's contract. It's, I hate to say it, they're going to pay Ohtani for the next, what, 20 years?
Ohtani only hits you for $40 million a year on your salary cap.
Yeah.
Because you got, yes, he has a large contract. Same thing with Soto, okay? But you have, your salary cap is based on the year. So if you're paying Soto $40 million, that's a $40 million hit to your salary cap right off rip.
Yes.
Well, the thing is, I think he's also, he wants to stop what the Dodgers are doing.
Yeah, he wants to stop
the deferments.
Yeah, he wants to add that. So, problem is, then you have to redo that whole contract for Ohtani and everyone else that's deferred.
I feel like that should be a grandfathered thing.
Yeah, you need to grandfather it in.
Yeah.
And then you start going because Harper's the same way. Soto, Machado.
But I don't see why that's a problem for these players to defer their money. I mean, it's smart. Look at guys like Bobby Bonilla.
It is, but here's the thing. What teams are going to defer a huge amount of money?
Teams that can make that money and pay. Like, because here's the thing. Could you see the Marlins deferring money for the next, like, 10-plus years? Not really, because they don't make that money.
Hey, there's nothing saying the Marlins are going to be a major league team in 10 years.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's also the issue.
Yeah, I again, and this has been my opinion on the salary cap since we started the podcast, we don't need a cap because you kind of half-ass have that with the luxury tax. But... you need, at minimum, a floor. You need to tell these teams that you have to spend X amount of money every season for your team, because that is how you maintain competitiveness in the league.
Well, here's the thing. If you make a floor, There's no guarantee the Marlins, the Rays, the Athletics are going to be able to make enough money to cover just the floor. When's the last time the A's have given out a huge contract?
They don't. So you're saying...
How many times has that team been up for sale?
I'm not sure. What, 4 times?
A lot. In our lifetime.
Is it really just because these small market teams can't afford it? Or is it because the owners don't want to spend that money? Because I feel like, don't get me wrong, Miami doesn't have the best attendance. But I feel like with the money they do make, they could afford to buy a couple better players.
Well, we'll go with the better team. Chris, when's the last time the Braves were in a situation where they could give out good money?
I believe 1998 when we re-signed, was it Chipper? But he took a hometown discount so we could bring back other people. So I think the biggest deal was Maddox probably.
I don't care. I wasn't going for the player. But who was the owner?
Ted Turner.
A single owner?
Yes.
Not even that. What did Turner own?
TV channel. TVs, TV, so and a bunch of other stuff. Revenue
elsewhere.
Exactly. So you're looking at like the A's, whose owner wants to sell because he's not making any money. Rest of the owners not approving the sale, because even though the owner wants out, they still have to be approved by MLB. You just had Tampa that got sold.
Yeah, I was gonna bring that up. Is like, so how does something like that work then? Because
owners get together, vote on it. If they agree to the money and who's buying the team, they'll approve it. Then you have Miami that can't keep an owner very long either.
No.
I'm surprised Colorado's kept this owners as long as they have right now.
I mean, like Colorado, though, I kind of... They have the ability to do it. Because, I mean, the Colorado games that I have watched, they get pretty consistent attendance for a crappy team.
Yeah, but what have you stated multiple times?
The Rockies suck?
Who's around them?
Fair.
Who's going to drive all the way there? I know more people that live in Florida that will drive up to Atlanta instead of driving to Tampa or Miami.
Yeah.
I feel targeted.
Well, we do know someone that will drive to Atlanta for a game.
There's two people sitting in this room right now that would drive up to Atlanta instead of going down to Tampa.
Yeah, I mean, that's fair. I mean, plus that's also your team. I mean,
I would go to Miami. I wouldn't go to Tampa. I've been to Tampa, and the stadium sucks.
I want to go to Miami. That would be fun. I'm thinking about it next week while I'm in Fort Lauderdale.
Yeah, I meant, as a guy that's 6'1", I didn't sit comfortable in Tampa's stadium. So, it's, you know, if I'm going to sit there and be happy watching baseball, I'd rather be comfortable because I can watch baseball and be happy. It's being comfortable is the next reason. Don't help that.
I don't sit comfortable in any of those hard chairs. So,
I mean, I could just sit there if my knees weren't like almost, you know.
But that's also a thing with like small market teams. Tampa's previous owners wanted to move out of that stadium. MLB would not allow it.
Yeah, they wanted to move something a little closer to St. Pete and a little further out of Tampa.
They already are in St. Pete.
Yeah, it's considered St. Pete where the stadium is. It's in an odd location.
Yeah, I don't know. It's past the bridge, but still.
I mean, I think the new owner will want to spend money because he's all about making money. And I hate to say it, spending money makes money. So.
But I mean, honestly, what else is around Tampa area that people go to all year?
Nothing, because everybody wants to go to Orlando, to Disney or Universal, and Tampa only really has the aquarium,
the Lightning.
Yeah,
I'd rather go to a Lightning game than a Rays game. That sounds really bad to say, but at least the Lightning know how to win games.
See, I disagree with you once you see the Lightning prices. As a Lightning fan,
are they that unfriendly?
Yeah.
But right now they're winning.
No, hockey games, period.
Oh, I've never been to...
Like, I made a mistake of pricing some hockey games. I'm better off going to Disney than going to a hockey game.
That sounds terrible.
I think I could have went to a whole weekend series of the Braves versus Tampa for one person, for two people, for the price of one person's ticket for a hockey game.
And I think that's what kind of hurts MLB also, because people want to go see the big name players. What happens when Judge comes to Atlanta?
The prices go up on the tickets. I've already looked.
Yeah.
What happens when Ohtani comes into town?
Prices go up.
Prices go up.
What happens when Tampa comes to Atlanta?
Tickets are like $18, $27.
Yeah. So, really, if you want your teams to make a profit, you got to... If you know, like, a big-name player's coming into town, you got to do something to make the most amount of money out of that.
Yeah. Well, here's my thing. I like the Ethan's idea of a ceiling floor. But I also, if you're going to do that, add two more teams. Because then the expansion draft kind of helps spread the money around.
How, though, really?
Well...
You spread the players mainly because the players with those contracts would have to go to another team elsewhere for that type of draft.
Yeah.
No, because you remember what we talked about when we first brought it up?
Well, make it to where you have to give up two players at least on your starting 26.
Like, yeah, but if most of the players on the starting 26 are not going to be making what Ohtani makes.
Oh, I agree, because you're not going to give
Freeman up your... makes what Betts makes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you're still going to give up people off your 26, even your 40-man roster. But you're not going to spread the money out like that. And what's going to happen when one of those players go off because they actually got a chance? Where are they going to go? They're going to go back to a bigger market.
Yeah.
And sink or swim.
Yeah, that is true. That is that.
So you're not spreading the money, really.
Yeah. You're
delaying it, if anything.
Yeah, that's... crap, I didn't think about that.
I mean, that does make the whole thing a little more complicated. My thing is, this is just... I don't see... It makes it harder to try to fix the MLB with all the issues... That, you know, we're bringing up, obviously, with trying to do this.
I think the better thing would, if you want to try to fix it, it has to be a salary cap. Grandfather the contracts currently in, because by the time most of those contracts end, those players are going to be retirement age.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, start fresh. If you still want to bring two teams in, they're already coming in at the ceiling.
Yeah.
Then that you're going to be able to separate the contracts and the money.
Well, it doesn't help that you have these owners that in certain areas, and I can use two examples, the Reds. The Reds owners have a crap ton of money, but do they spend it?
No, not really.
Okay. They own like a actual farm that sells like sausage and like milk. They got the money.
But that's what you're trying to fix, is those teams that have the money who just don't spend it.
But here's the thing. The Reds are in a baseball market. You would think you'd spend money because you only have a single owner. You know, then you look at the Braves. Got a group of owners that, hate to say it, some want to spend money, some don't. But it's a vote.
I mean, that's fair.
You know, then you got the Yankees owner.
Yeah, I mean, they like to spend money, though. The Yankees have always been a team that is not opposed to spending money for talent that they deem worth it.
Yeah, and then you got the Dodgers. Ownership.
Wants to spend all the money in the world.
All the money, but they all want to, they have a mutual thing, to win.
Yeah, I mean, I get that. But so,
you also got to look at, like, for the Dodgers, what area they're in. All those people should have money at some point.
Oh, that is true. That is true.
To be part of the Dodgers ownership, they all got money.
Yeah. How much of their money is going into the Dodgers payroll, though?
A good bit.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Really?
Magic Johnson, when he helped helped buy the team. He said he knows winning makes cost money, but winning also makes him money. Because you got to think, okay, we'll use this as a prime example as a Braves fan. When they won the World Series, okay, I know some dummy that spent at least $180+ on shirts because they won a World Series. That's not even counting the expensive hat he bought, or the ring his wife, replica ring his wife bought, or the, you know, World Series clay I have in a jar.
I wonder who that is. It's not me. I'm a Yankees fan.
And it wasn't me.
Yeah, listen, so, hate to say it, they got a lot of money because they won. Okay, they still get money from me when they suck still because, you know, bought a stupid All-Star hat.
Yeah, I wasn't going to bring that ugly hat.
Listen, though. Of all the hats you own,
that is an ugly hat.
That's probably the ugliest.
Well, I had
the only uglier hats I've seen you show me are the Yankee hats.
Well, but that's my thing is, I wanted it because it was the All-Star game, and if the tickets were reasonable, I would have just went instead of buying a hat. You know? So, I hate to say it, Magic Johnson, you know, spend money makes money. I mean,
but that's what we're trying to do with the owners that don't spend money, is make them spend money and they can make more.
Yeah, but the problem is,
my thing is, it's just money. We can all make more.
I mean, if you own an MLB team, you got enough money. Let's be real. It ain't just us three going, okay, we own a team. Even though, you know, one player's sneakers for the season would be out of our budget.
Yeah, let's not talk about the Ricky Bobby cleats for Spencer Strider.
Yeah, yeah.
That didn't even get to see the field.
Oh, yeah.
They did, didn't they?
No.
Oh, he didn't wear them for the four pitchers he threw?
I wouldn't even call that
an outing.
Yeah, I wouldn't even
call it. That's a warm-up.
Listen, he throws that in between an inning. Yeah, there's so many things to, like, try to fix the game. But the problem is, I think we need an owner that's about baseball. I mean, a commissioner that's about baseball to help these owners spend money to see the game. Like, we don't need a businessman. We need a fan of baseball to be the commissioner.
Yeah, but how do you become the commissioner?
You just got to be able to talk to the right people. And, you know,
you get appointed by the owners. Well, they're going to give a kiss behind yes, sir, yes, ma'am person there. Every commissioner in every league is a suck up to the owners because that's who they work for.
Yeah. Yeah.
And if the owners can vote you out, are you going to suck up to them as much as possible?
I mean, you kind of got to play both sides, but I don't think Manfred can play both sides because the players.
What commissioner in any league plays both sides?
Most of them kind of villainize the Players Association, especially Manfred.
Manfred hated by the players.
Yes.
Gurdell hated by everybody.
Yes.
Except for the owners.
Yes.
Silver hated by most of the players.
Yes.
I don't know who the NHL person is.
I don't either. But I'd say the lacrosse guy, but it's a former player. But he also owns the league.
Yeah. So he owns the league. He's but not.
He's the commissioner, though.
Yes, but he also, like you said, he owns the league.
Yes, so but the league
these,
is.
None of these other commissioners really have anything to do with a team.
And he only created the league because the other league wasn't ran for the players. And he wanted to create a player league.
And see, and that's where, again, we circle back to the bananas. Like, they wanted to do it for the fans. So at what point do we get an owner or a commissioner that wants to enjoy the sport for the fans?
Yeah, but if you also look, like we stated, bananas are starting to go away from the fans.
Yeah.
If you have to do a lottery to try to get tickets at $25, that's going to eventually kill you.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you also can't fix scalpers. Like, there's scalpers in everything.
That wasn't a scalper thing.
I know, but that's the thing. So here's the issue with not having a lottery, right? So if I am just one person and I want to go to the game, if I spend, you know, the money on six tickets and I sell the other five, I make a profit. And that's what those people are thinking.
Yes, but at some point, the way the economy is going, people ain't going to have the money for that kind of stuff.
No, you're not wrong.
No.
I would like to see the sport improve. And to see that the viewership is there is great. To see that there's so many injuries and so many harms and potential harms to the league and this new viewership, it's a little unnerving.
Yeah.
But also, with the bananas, where do you see most of their games at?
In major league stadiums or...
No, I'm in on TV. What channel?
Oh, well, on ESPN.
What's ESPN losing?
MLB.
Exactly. So now they're taking over a prime market spot.
I didn't think about that either. Yeah, because they are. ESPN only really has the special games, the All-Star Game, the World Series, ALCS,
and LCS. Sunday night.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And at some point, that's going to stop. What happened in the 90s with TBS, and it's more early 2000s, my bad.
I meant they only had the Braves.
And who else?
The Cubs occasionally.
Yes. But when they stopped showing those games, after Turner was not an owner of the Braves.
Yeah.
Nobody tapped into it except for wrestling for a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's fair. So, to kind of get us away from the depression of the mismanaging of MLB, let's talk about the mismanaging of the teams, and specifically going into the second half, where we have so many teams that were dominant in the first half, like my Yankees, who are now third place in their division and clinging to wild card. What do we think it looks like? What do we think it looks like for these other teams going into the season? Because we've seen teams like Milwaukee kind of go from being dog crap at the beginning of the season to now one of the best records in the league. You know, do we continue to see the uptick, or do we see some of these teams that are starting to fall off find their footing again?
Well, I think it helped Milwaukee getting rid of Nestor Cortez.
Well, yeah, that was obvious.
And my thing with Milwaukee is what they were missing in the start of the season, they're finally getting fully healthy. And they play a lot of small ball. They're not killing you with home runs. They're just putting the ball in play.
Yeah. I mean, so, but Milwaukee's pitching has actually gotten healthier over time with all this.
Yeah.
Yeah, where the Cubs' pitching has gotten worse.
Womp, womp, womp.
I mean, well, but that's the thing. You know, the Cubs' pitching's gotten weaker, but their hitting is still decent.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter really how good your bats are if your pitchers are giving up as many runs as y'all can score.
So, but my thing is look at the Cardinals, though. The team OPS is up 60 points since the break. Do you think that translates into them being able to overtake Milwaukee?
St. Louis, no.
No.
Because, I mean, they've been a solid team. They've been a 500 team most of the season, you know.
It'll come down to the Cubs and Milwaukee. St. Louis, I don't feel like they have the bullpen to keep it going.
Do y'all know how far back St. Louis is currently?
Give me a minute.
How far are they back?
13 games.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, there's no way they're going to catch. The Cubs are 4 games back of the Brewers currently. So, if they come back 13 games to give Milwaukee a run for their money, that means the Brewers, the Cubs, and the Reds all fell tremendously. There's not that much of a chance of 3 teams in one division falling apart like that.
Well, looking at the standings, I see what you mean. But there's closer races, especially in the American League. If you look at the American League West, that's kind of up for anybody between the Astros, the Mariners, and the Rangers.
Yeah, but if you also look at it, except for the years leading up to Houston getting caught cheating.
Right.
The AL West always bounced around. You've never had a consistent take charge of the division team. For a little bit, it was the Rangers.
Yeah.
growing up, it was the Mariners, and then it was the trash.
I think Seattle's made the most moves during the trade deadline that gives them the best opportunity to overtake the Astros.
I honestly think they went for too many bats.
Well,
their pitching's getting healthier, though.
Yes, but now you didn't really get rid of any of your bats that were keeping you in the division already. And then you went back and got a guy you traded the year before. And now you have Josh Naylor. And I think they picked up a couple more bats as well. But they really didn't get rid of anything. And with their starting pitching coming back healthy now, if they did what they did last year, now you're going to be keeping one or two bats on the bench. And then when you need them to step up, are they going to be seeing enough pitching to step up?
I agree and I disagree. And the only reason I agree with that is, like you just said, are they going to be ready to step? But why I disagree is, if say they have an issue like the Braves where half the damn team's injured, at least you got someone ready. That's MLB ready instead of calling up people of, who are you today, the game?
Well, the problem is they've already dealt with what the Braves are going through, because most of the injuries to the Braves are their starting rotation. Their starting rotation is coming back at this point.
Yeah, because I know the Central, unfortunately, is going to be run the rest of the season by the Tigers, short of the Tigers imploding on themselves.
Well, they literally keep Grandpa in the starting rotation. That might happen.
I don't see Tigers losing the Central, unfortunately, because the Twins kind of shipped off everyone except Buxton, basically.
And Royce Lewis, if he's healthy.
Yeah.
I think Boston takes the American League East. They're 9-1 for their last 10.
So, about that, I think what that division's going to come down to is the next 2 weeks, where Toronto plays y'all and Boston plays both the top two. So, it's going to be y'all could catch them, or if Toronto sweeps Boston, Boston sweeps y'all, Toronto could just run away with it all. It's going to come down to the Blue Jays-Red Sox series.
So. How many more games does the Yankees play the Blue Jays?
Hold on, I'll pull it up.
While you pull that up, I'm going to talk about the National League East for a moment, because the Mets are only 2.5 behind the Phillies. That division, because the Marlins sitting in third was not something I expected. But they're 9.5 back, so they're not going to make it anywhere near it. I think the Phillies overtake the Mets the rest of the...
Three games.
We play three games, that's it?
Yeah.
Lord have mercy.
And that's the first weekend series of Toronto of September. Because y'all play Houston, Toronto, Detroit, Boston.
So, in that series, the best that New York can gain on them is three games.
Yeah.
So you're going to have to hope that Toronto falls apart the rest of the season, no matter what. You're too far out with only three games against them.
And that's my thing with Toronto. They've been streaky all season because Vladdy's not been consistent. Their pitching fluctuates healthy and injured and healthy and injured. So, again, the Modge Podge team has proven to be beneficial, but they're too streaky.
And Boston plays Toronto three times.
Which, they're three games back right now.
Yeah,
right.
And that's the last week of the season where... Mm. But in Toronto's favor is they play Detroit right after Toronto, so... You know.
But speaking of streaky, in the last 10 games, the Blue Jays and the Yankees have the same record, though.
Yes.
Yes.
Just one problem. Yankees have lost 5 in a row.
They've lost 5 in a row, and they lost 3 of those to Miami, which... is not a good look.
Yeah. Where Toronto's at least won their last two games.
Yeah. Right. And to get back on the NL East thing, I don't see the Mets catching Philly.
They're only 2.5 back.
Here's why I say that.
Yeah, but going into the second half, the Mets had a two-game lead, I believe.
Yes. And the Mets are notorious for falling in the second half.
Well, yeah, and they're only 3-7 in their last 10.
And so. Their best bat, they spent all that money this season, is batting 125 after the All-Star break.
And I'm okay with that because that just proves that he's not all that.
Yeah, but... Where Philly...
If Schwarber's hot, Philly's going to win.
Yeah.
That's really what it comes down to.
And Schwarber's been kind of hot lately.
Yeah, he hit two home runs in one game a couple days ago.
Did you see the, I know I sent it to you guys, was the petition that everyone was signing in the crowd at the last Phillies game where the Phillies are like, they want Schwarber to be re-signed.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say, like, I'm going to be honest, who do you replace him with? Because free agency bats next year ain't that impressive for DHs. And I went ahead and looked this up. So the Mets Phillies play each other 7 times.
Okay.
And the Phillies still have to play the Dodgers 3 times.
Oh wow.
Yeah, but playing the Dodgers really doesn't do as much unless it's like a game and a half difference.
Yeah, it's only half game difference for how many games back you are, but it would make, I don't think that they beat the Dodgers all 7 of those games anyway.
No. Wait. I thought you said the Phillies only played Dodgers 3 more times.
They played the Mets 7 times.
Or Mets, excuse yeah. me.
So that's
going to be the big difference in, honestly, in Major League history, what team has the worst collapse?
Mets.
Exactly.
Mets will be Mets. Yeah. And it doesn't help. So this is also what helps the Phillies, and this is why I say this. The Mets have the worst, so from the 25th of August to the end of the season, they actually have the worst schedule, because they play Philly, Miami, Detroit, Cincinnati, Philly for 4, Texas, San Diego, Washington, Cubs, Miami. What is up with that schedule right there?
You mean the hardest? I think that's the better way to put it instead of worst.
Oh, it's the worst, because here's the thing.
It's the worst because it's the hardest.
Yes, yes. Okay, yeah, I should have worded it that way. Because you have Detroit trying to lock up home field advantage, Texas and San Diego fighting for a playoff spot, Cubs trying to win their division, Cincinnati trying to make the wild card, and then I hate to say it, you got Miami and Nationals that really ain't nothing, and Philadelphia is gonna play you hard those 7 games. So
you know the biggest fall off that I'm disappointed with is the Giants being at 500 this late in the season at 57-57. You're 9 games back. You've made the NL West literally just a fight for the Dodgers and the Padres.
Yeah, but well, we called that though.
Yeah, they don't have enough.
They don't have enough pitching.
Yeah, and Robbie Ray can only carry that team so far.
I mean, how long did it take Verlander to get his first win of the season?
Most of the season?
Most of the first half.
Yeah.
He still only has 1 win at this point.
That 1 win sucks.
I know it does, but...
Why was the 1 win against Atlanta?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. You're telling me, like, Birdsong, they sent him down, is not doing better than Verlander?
I think Verlander is only there for coaching and helping these young players.
Yeah, but it does no good if the young players aren't with him.
Yeah, exactly.
Logan Webb's a starting pitcher. He's been in the league for a few years. Robbie Ray is probably the oldest pitcher other than Verlander on that roster.
Yes.
Who's their other couple of pitchers?
You said Logan Webb?
Yeah.
That was the first one.
So there's two more pitchers.
The two others are like rookies or been in the league 1 or 2 years. I can't think of his name.
But if you have Verlander there as a coach, why not get rid of Robbie Ray? Or Logan Webb.
Oh, yeah.
If you want to have a player coach, basically, you want Verlander with the younger guys. Because at this point, he's not going for a ring.
No, I need to send him down to AAA and let him go work with the AAA guys.
Exactly. Or you bring your AAA guys up. That's going to be the future of your team at this point, because they're not going to have enough games to be considered their rookie year.
Yeah.
I think a lot of what goes into not bringing up the young guys like that is because of losing the years of eligibility by bringing them up like that.
But they have to play a certain amount of games for it to count as a year.
Right.
So if they don't meet that threshold, then it doesn't matter. They still have to keep that 6 years control of them.
Yeah.
So do we want to cover divisions, or do we want to go into our trivia segment?
We can go over trivia.
All right. What is on trivia today?
It's guess the player, but a little bit different. I need y'all to find something y'all can both reach and put it in the middle of y'all.
Huh? Oh, Lord. How are we going to do this? Let's see. Let me sit forward a minute.
What do you need in the middle?
So, I have three players for y'all.
Uh-huh.
There's four hints for each player. All right. So, it's going to be a point contest between the two of y'all.
Oh, lovely.
If you get it off the first hint, it's 4 points.
Okay. What is the pin for, though?
Whoever grabs it first.
It's like the buzzer.
Gets the guess.
He can just go first, because that's going to be a lot of editing, and I ain't trying to do all that.
Not really. If y'all don't know it, I'd go yeah. on.
You only pick up the pen if you're going to guess.
Okay. Whack. Whack. That's all I see.
I didn't know y'all were going to put it right there.
I just see mics going crazy. So this
I didn't know y'all were going to put it right there. That's why.
We put it right there. That way you still have reach with your good arm.
Okay.
All right. If you guess and you're wrong, you cannot guess again until the next player guesses.
Okay.
All right.
That's going to hurt me more than you.
Yes and no. Depends.
All right. First player. First hint. Spent whole 9-year career with two teams in the NL West.
Nope.
No.
All right. Second hint. Led MLB in saves with 48 in 2010.
Between two teams in the NL West. I don't know.
No, because that's not who I think it is.
All right. Third hint. I have 172 career saves.
Nope. Not who I'm thinking it is. People I'm thinking of have more.
I'm lost.
All right. Last hint. Have the nickname The Beard.
Play for the Giants.
He picked up the pin. He picked up the pin.
Did. Can't think of his name now.
Can't think
Play
of his name.
Play for the Giants.
Play for the Giants.
Won the World Series with him.
Yep.
No. Sean Doolittle.
Incorrect.
Oh. Not Doolittle.
Because he was with two in the West. That's why
I mainly remember him with the NL East.
I just remember him with
was
the Giants.
I thought he was with the A's and the Astros.
I said NL West.
Oh, you know, that doesn't
I can't think of his name, and I'm going to throw some at you.
It's Brian Wilson.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
He was a Giant, yeah.
Yep, I just like
him. And he spent the last 2 years with the Dodgers.
Mm. Yeah.
I would have actually thought of Kane.
Breaking news. Roman Anthony finalized an 8-year, $130 million extension.
Well, he'll be a career-long Red Sox.
Yep.
All right. Next player. Was drafted second overall in 2012 out of high school.
I don't know. Not off of that one. There's a couple I think of, because there's one in particular, but I don't know if he was drafted in 2012.
Harper went one. Yep, no.
All right. Second hint. Signed a 7-year, $100 million contract in 2021.
That makes it me really think of who I think it is, but I'm not for sure.
Go ahead, pick up the pin.
But if I guess and I'm wrong, then I can't guess until you guess.
Well, if it helps you, I think we're both thinking the same player. So if you're wrong, you know, Mike Trout.
Incorrect.
It's not who I was thinking.
Okay, go ahead and guess then. I can't guess.
You don't have to guess. You can hear another hint.
Guess. It's not like I can guess again.
Yeah, it's not like you can guess again. I was going to say Bryce Harper.
Incorrect.
Darn.
Bryce Harper went number one.
Yeah.
I knew he went number one, but okay, never mind. I thought he went number one out of high school.
It was the contract that made me think Trout.
This player is a two-time All-Star in 2022 and 2025.
Oh. Wow.
Hold on, you said 2025 and when?
2022.
As a starting All-Star?
No.
Oh, okay, well, that doesn't help me then. There was too many All-Stars in the 2025 lineup. That's
why I honestly don't fully remember.
If I knew AL or NL, I could probably tell you.
Well, we're going to get the last hint.
He represented the AL in the Home Run Derby this year.
Hold on. It's not this one. It's not that one.
I think I know who it is.
It's not Cal. It's not Junior Caminero. Who's the other guy in the AL All-Star?
You giving up?
I'm stealing the pen from him.
No, I didn't guess yet. He can't get. Why am I having a brain fart?
You're slow.
All right, Grandpa. Byron Buxton.
You are correct.
Yeah. It was Buxton.
Listen. I had a brain fart about Buxton.
Because Buxton's the only one that got that $100 million contract extension.
And he got drafted out of a high school in Georgia.
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't want to put that as the first hint when I did the high school fart.
Yeah, that would have been easy.
Yeah.
Would have made it a little easier.
I tried to make the hints easier as it went.
All right.
All right, last one. Was drafted in the second round of the 2002 draft.
Second round in 2002. I'm going to need the next hint.
Same. Too many people drafted in that round. Okay.
I never won a Cy Young Award despite being a five-time All-Star.
Wow. That's painful.
That doesn't tell me anything because there's a lot of those.
Five-time All-Star, 2002 second round.
Yep. Next.
Yeah.
Won 3 World Series championships. 2 in the AL, 1 in the NL.
Oh. That changes some things. That's not who I think it is then.
With 3 different teams?
2 different teams.
Okay.
Mm.
It's beneficial.
I don't know. Because that could be 3 people, and I don't want to guess because then that gives you the win. And I'm too competitive, so I'd rather not.
What's the last hint?
All right, last hint. Could not throw over to first base.
His name is Garrett Cole.
Nope, John Lester.
Ethan, you're incorrect. Chris, you are correct.
Aww.
Can't field to can't run to first base. John Lester couldn't throw. John Lester would go cover first base. Well, Cole Boston Cubs. Boston Cubs. He helped win the Cubs World Series.
Lester would not pick off to first.
Yeah, he couldn't
save his life.
Yeah,
really.
He would throw his glove if he had to go fill the ball. And yes,
that's sad.
Yeah, he was probably the pitcher in our lifetime that will give up the most stolen bases.
Yeah. All right, ladies and gentlemen, if you have questions, comment them, and we will target them in episode 27. 27. It'll be called "The Return of Austin Riley, Part 2." Dun, 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 dun.
The podcast can join the 27 Club.
Yeah.
Until next time.
All right, peeps.